Okay, tonight's shiur and the rest of the shiur throughout the summer are sponsored by Ben Yael England. It is Chus Rufur Shlema for Zecharia Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. Tonight we start a new topic within Tevilas Kelim, and that is we've already discussed which kinds of Kelim are Chayiv in Tevila, both in terms of the materials that they're made out of, as well as the Derech Hishtamshos, what the common uses of those Kelim are. We've discussed several issues in regards to Tevilas Kelim. There are basically two issues left. One is tonight's topic, which is the issue of what kind of kinyan does one need to make before it's considered their kli to be chayiv in tevilas kelim. Meaning, let's say I go out to a restaurant. So do I have to make sure that the kelim that I'm using in that restaurant were tovel? Do I have to know that they were tovel if I go to a hotel and they serve me a glass of soda? So if the kli was not tovel, does the fact that I'm using it make it mine and therefore require tevilas kelim, or is that not sufficient? And exactly what the gedarim of that are, that is the subject of tonight's shiur. And Bez Hashem, we're going to have one more packet before the end. We only have, counting tonight, three shiurim left. But there's no way we're doing this for more than two nights. At a maximum, I'm going to do this packet for two nights. The last night, and perhaps the last two shiurim, but certainly the last shiur at least has to discuss, okay, now you're in the mikvah, you're at the keli mikvah, so what do you do now? So we have to discuss exactly how the tovel kelim, the bracha of tevilas kelim, chatzitza issues of tevilas kelim. So Bez Hashem, we will, God willing, get to that. We'll try not to let the summer end without getting to that. But first, tonight, let's discuss the darkei kinyanim achayavim b'tevila. And for the first half of this shiur, I want you to think about, in the back of your mind, and then we'll come up and we'll wrap it up. I want you to think about the shaila that I posed several shiurim ago, which was the o'nuts shaila. And lav dafka to pick on o'nuts or, you know, Bunim or whatever, Candy King or any type of possible candy store that sells candies in dishes already. And the shaila was, what about tefilas kelim on those dishes? So if it's a ceramic dish or if it's a klei cheres or something like that, so those things probably don't need tefila anyway, so that's okay. But what about, sometimes they sell in glass dishes. So when you buy candy in a glass dish and you go give it to somebody who you're going to for Shabbos, what is the tefilas kelim story with that? So as if you recall, I told you that in my humble opinion, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Feivel Cohn, Shlita, and many others, that there's, it's really a there's no solution to that problem. The store doesn't do tefillah, the person who buys it doesn't do tefillah, obviously it's already packed. The only solution would be for the person who receives it to empty the contents of the kli out, do tefillah, then put the contents back in and use it, but not to use it even the first time without tefillah. So the last ingredient of that psak is going to be in tonight's shiur. We're going to figure out why there are no other eitzas based on tonight's shiur. So let's get started. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hey, which is really one amud of Gemara, that's all of Hilchos Tevilas Kelim in that one amud. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Lo Shanu Ela Belukuchinu K'maisa Shaya, Avol She'ulu No, that the Maisa Shaya is only when we go and we acquire fully the Kelim. If you purchase Kelim, then you have to do Tevila, but if you simply borrow Kelim, the Kelim do not need Tevila. Right? That's explicit in the Gemara. Now, it would therefore turn out, if you go to a restaurant and the restaurant is owned by a non-Jew, what are you doing with those kelim? You are not buying the kelim, you are buying the food that is on the kelim. The kelim, most likely, you are borrowing. And since it's owned by a non-Jew and you are just borrowing it, chayiv in tevila? No. Right? It's obviously not chayiv in tevila because it's just borrowed by the Jew. Now, is that even a din l'chadchila? Can you say l'chadchila, I'll go and I'll borrow a kli from a non-Jew? Or is that only b'di'evet? B'di'evet, if I'm in a situation where I'm handed food that's in a kli that belongs to a non-Jew and I'm just borrowing it, so that's okay. But l'chadchila, it would be best if I could be tovelit. So what's the din? So in Shulchan Aruch it just says that it's mutter. In the Gemara it just says that it's mutter. The clear implication is that it's mutter even l'chadchila. The Chelkas Binyamin, though, raises the possibility and quickly rejects it, but he raises the possibility that maybe it shouldn't be lechatchila, because the Yisur v'Heter in Shar Nun Ches Din Ayin Vav writes that the fact that you're allowed to use the kli while it's still in the possession of the guy is because the whole mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim is to bring it into Kedushas Yisrael. When the guy still owns it, so you're using it b'tumah. You're not using it b'Kedushas Yisrael. So it's not something that you can bring into Kedushas Yisrael. If you were to tovel it, as long as the guy still owns it, it's still b'tumah. It's still in the Tumas HaHakum. It's not yet in Kedushas Yisrael. There's no way that you can effectively be tovel it. So he says, maybe that implies that it's something. There's something not good about that. That there's something wrong with that, to use a kli bituma, whatever that means, while it's still bituma sa'akum. But he says, no, it's clear in Shulchan Aruch not that way, that we assume it is even a din l'chadchila. So if you go out on a date in a hotel lobby or whatever, or I don't know what the yeshivish place is to go, an airport, and you want to order a drink from a restaurant or a bar or whatever, so you can order the drink in a glass, and that is not a problem, right? As long as it's a cold drink, certainly, perhaps even a hot drink, but that's a different topic for a different time. A cold drink, for sure, is not a problem. Assuming it's a kosher drink, a kosher beverage, not a problem with Tefillas Kelim, as long as the store is owned by a guy, right? Even lechatchila, that is totally mutter. Now, this would seem to be a tremendous kula, because you can use this to your advantage, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us, very well-known psak, we've discussed a few times already, what if it's coming up on Shabbos, and you didn't do Tevilas Kelim yet, but you're having a lot of company tomorrow, you need those Kelim that you have in your house to be able to use over Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch says, an Eitzah! Shachach v'lo hitbil, and it's Erev Shabbos, you don't have time, but you have a non-Jewish woman who works in your house, who cleans your house. So, an Eitzah, what can you do? You could be makna the kli to her, make it be her kli, so it belongs to a guy, and you'll just borrow it over Shabbos. So therefore, it belongs to a guy, all you're doing is borrowing it, not going to need tefillah, you're going to be able to use it. Shulchan Aruch says, Yitnenu lo v'kochav b'matana, v'achar kach yishalenu mimenu, that's Sif Tezayin in Simon Kovchav. U'mutu l'shtamishvah, when that's fine, you can then go ahead and use it. So now, if that's the case, does that mean that you could do that forever? Meaning the Shulchan Aruch's example happens to be over Shabbos, which is a one-day thing, and then hopefully after Shabbos, you'll get to a keli mikvah. But what if it's inconvenient to go to the mikvah. It's difficult for you to go to a keli mikvah ever, even during the week. It's difficult for you to find a keli mikvah. You live in a place where there's no mikvah available to you, right? In Russia for many years, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think the shmua was that the reason why there's such a big gap between the ages of Rav Moshe Zichrono Livracha's children is that there was no mikvah available for several years. So he was Polish from his wife for several years because there was no mikvah available. And that's why there's such a gap in the age of the children. I was told by someone who asked not to be quoted that the actual maisa was that there was a mikvah available. What happened was when the government closed down all the mikvahos, so the Jewish communities made secret mikvahos. And what they did was they used those secret mikvahos. Now, the only way the government would hop on to what they're doing is if they'll see if the rabbi is having children. If the rabbi is having children, then it's going to be evident to them that obviously there's a mikvah somewhere, and they'll go and they'll hunt it down, they'll find it. If everyone else, all the balabatim, are having children, they figure, okay, so they just gave up on it, because who's going to be Poresh just because there's no mikvah available? So if Moshe was Poresh from his wife for years, because he knew that the rabbi couldn't have children, because if the rabbi goes there and has children, then the government's going to catch them. So he took one for the team. Unbelievable. It's, that's what made him Rav Moshe, I guess. But anyway, if there's no keli mikvah available, like you live in Russia or whatever, or maybe you don't want to go to a keli mikvah, so can you do this forever? Have a guy own the kli and borrow it from him forever. So the Ramah already adds the next step. The Ramah writes, V'chein yasa afilu b'chol. It's not only a Shabbos heter. You could do this on a weekday too. In source number 3, B'makom shein lo mikvah, if there's no mikvah there. Whoa, so the Ramah doesn't give us a timeline. He just says, yeah, do it. It's okay. It's no problem. Without any, and a weekday. Shabbos, we know how long Shabbos is. Shabbos is a day. Weekdays? I don't know. I don't know how long I'm not going to have a mikvah for. It could be months, could be years. So the impression you get from the Ramah maybe is that there's no specific time. However, if you look at the Taz says, no, this is a heter that only works lefi sha'a. The Ramah is probably working off of the Mechaber, where the Mechaber was talking about a Shabbos or a Yantiv, where it's obviously a very short defined time period. The Ramah says if it's a weekday, where it's also a short defined time period somehow, because you know that they're building a mikvah, or you're going to a town that has a mikvah tomorrow, or whatever. So if it's also a short defined time period, that would be okay, but only if it's Lefi Sha'a. But if it's for a longer time, he says, then it's no different, it's no worse than a mashkon. A mashkon that you have, that a guy plans on, what's the halach of a mashkon? The Gemara is a suffik. If a guy gives you something as a mashkon, a kli as a mashkon, so is that considered yours? So the Gemara said, well, if he plans on leaving it by you for a long time, forever, so then it's considered yours. Well, if he plans on leaving it by me forever, it's considered mine. Why should something I borrow that I'm planning on borrowing forever not be considered mine? So the Taz says it's lo garami mashkon. There's no reason why you should be allowed to do this for a long time. So how long is long? What's the deadline? How much time do you have where you can borrow something? It's probably these halachos that gave birth to the idea, to the one of the top 10 mistaken notions in Judaism, that with tefillas kelim there's a one-time heter. They can use a kli once without tefila and then do the tefila later. There's no one-time heter unless you use some other heter, like the fact that it's owned by a guy and you're borrowing it. So for that, there's a one-time heter. And even that's only really a one-time heter. That's only for a very short defined period of time. Lav dafka one time, but a short defined period of time. So we said, what's the gedder? The gedder is 30 days. Where does he get the idea that the gedder is 30 days? Because there's a halacha in Aruch Chaim, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Chaim. When you have a talis that has dalit kanfos, it has four corners on the talis, so it's chayiv and tzitzis. What about a talis shu'ula? It's not yours, and you're just borrowing the talis. Do you need to put tzitzis on it? So it's pater mitzitzis kol lamed yom. The halacha is it's pater mitzitzis for the first 30 days that you're borrowing it. After 30 days, it becomes chayiv and tzitzis. So since after 30 days, it becomes chayiv and tzitzis, so you see that's already considered yours. Even though you borrowed it for more than 30 days, it's considered yours. So says the Taz, hachanami over here also, it needs tefillah as soon as you're able to be tovel it. And certainly after 30 days, it would for sure need tefillah. Now the Taz says, with a bracha, without a bracha, this tefillah, how sure is he that this is true, that if you borrow it for a long time, that it's really considered yours? Is he willing to risk a bracha on it? He says, absolutely yes, make a bracha. That this heter of borrowing from a guy is for a short period of time, the heter doesn't exist for a long period of time. And as soon as you have the ability to be tovel it, it's yours, you go and you tovel it with a bracha. But he says you might as well bring another kli along and make a bracha on the other kli if you can. Yeah.
The borrowing lasts for 30 days, or after 30 days it officially becomes mine again? That's what we mean, the 30 days?
Meaning, let's say I borrow it and I plan on borrowing it forever, right?
Right. So
after 30 days,
then it's no longer borrowed.
So you say, is it like a Meglai Milsal Mafreya type of thing?
No, I'm saying, can you keep regenerating the, go back to my day 28, can I borrow it? Keep doing that over and over.
I would assume that that's considered to be a harama.
That wouldn't work.
I would imagine it would not work. Now, so that is that the Taz brings the raya from Hilchas Tzitzis. The thing is, the raya is not 100% clear from Hilchas Tzitzis, because if you look in the Magen Avraham in Siman Yud Gimel Sif Katan Ches, the Magen Avraham seems to assume that the idea of Talis Katan, the reason why there's a 30-day time period by talis she'ula is because once you've had the talis for more than 30 days, it's evident that it makes it look like it's yours. So looking at the Magen Avraham, he says that that which Sharina Lovsho B'Shabbos from the Kavod HaTzibur, Halo Yesh Takana She'itnenu L'achem Maton V'Yachsav Yishalenu Lo. Why do we allow someone to wear a talis without tzitzis for Kavod HaTzibur? Why don't you do an Eitzah? Give it to somebody else and borrow it from that somebody else, and then you won't be chayiv in tzitzis. Vazu Patam Yitzitzis. So he says, just like we do by Tfilas Kalim. Just like you do before Shabbos by Tfilas Kalim. So he says, Mikol Makom Chayiv Midrabanan Shenira Kishalo. He says it's chayiv midraban because it still looks like it's yours. And that's just like a talis shu'ula la'achal amidyom. If you've had it for more than 30 days, it doesn't look like it's borrowed anymore. It looks like it's yours now. People assume that it's yours. That's true by Talis. Is that same svar going to apply to Tefillas Kelim? That 30 days, after 30 days, it looks like it's your kli. So a Talis is something you go and you wear outside in public. Someone comes to your house and they come for a meal. They don't know how long you've had any given kli on the table. They all look like your Kelim. Even on the first day, they all look like your Kelim. Right? Or they all, none of them look like, you know, they all look the same. It doesn't, it's very hard to apply that Magen Avraham over here to Tefillas Kelim. Okay, now, very halacha l'maisa, Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, right there on Ayin Heim Beis, tells us a tremendous chiddush. He says, Omer Abin Shmuel, Yisrael Sheshoal Kli Yisrael Chavero, Shekano Me'ovid Chavim. Let's say a Jew bought a Kli from a guy, and a second Jew borrows from the first Jew. So it's not that the second Jew borrowed from the guy. If a Jew borrows from a guy, Reuven borrows from the guy, a kli does not need tefillah. But over here, Reuven bought the kli from a guy, Shimon borrows from Reuven. So does Shimon need to do tefillah? So he says, tzarech tefillah. Yes, he does. Why? I thought if you borrow, you're not called the owner, it doesn't require tefillah. So he says, so you have to explain what Tosfos means to say is as follows. And he explains a little bit. He says, which means as follows, that when I borrow a kli from a guy, while it was in the possession of the guy, it definitely did not need tefillah. Now that I'm taking it into my possession, b'toras she'ela, she'ela is not enough of a kinyan to create a chiyuv tefillah. Borrowing something is not enough of a kinyan to create a chiyuv tefillah. Good? But if Reuven bought it from the guy, Reuven had to do tefillah. He didn't, but it's chayiv in tefillah. He didn't do it, it's chayiv in tefillah. When I go and I borrow, she'el is enough of a reason not to create a new chiyuv tefillah, but it's also not a patur from tefillah. It's not something that's going to exempt you from an already existing chiyuv tefillah. So Zaktosos, you borrow from a Yisrael who bought from a guy, it's going to require tefillah. So if I go to a Jewish-owned restaurant, and the Jew who owns the restaurant did not do tefillah, Pashut Pshad, according to Tosfos, the Jew who owns the restaurant bought the kli from a guy, did not do tefillah, but chayiv in tefillah. I then go and I borrow from him, or lav dafka restaurant, I go to someone's house, and the person didn't do tefillah. That's a problem. It's chayiv in tefillah, and I'm not allowed to have the same isurim of using that kli that I would any of my own kelim that didn't have tefillah's kelim. That's the chiddush of Tosfos. Taking it one step further, says the Hagos HaShri in the back of the Gemara, on the side of the page in the margin of the Rush, Hagos HaShri writes, if imlacha chaver lachtoch klafin, but let's say the original Jew that bought it did not buy it for the use of su'uda. He did not buy it to eat with it. He bought a set of knives because he cuts parchments with his knives. And then you borrow those knives from him because you need some extra steak knives. So you say, I'm making a barbecue tonight. Can I borrow your cloth knives to use as my steak knives? So what about in that case? So he says, then ein sarach tefillah. Because it never required tefillah in the hands of Reuven. Reuven bought them. It wasn't clay suda for Reuven. He bought it with sarach clothin. So since it wasn't klei suda from, it didn't require tefillah. I am borrowing it, b'toras klei suda. Yeah, but borrowing isn't enough of a kinyan to create a chiyuv tefillah. So therefore, if the first Jew buys it litzorech, something other than klei suda, and I borrow from that Jew, I'm not going to need tefillahs kelim. That is the chiddush of the Hagos HaShri. Beis Yosef quotes the Hagos HaShri, and then he writes, in the third line of source number 8, Beis Yosef Simon Kufchav, Vayinir Ali, the Yisrael Shekana Kli Megai L'Schora. So he says, okay, now let's take Dagos HaShri one step further. So far again, let's go step by step. Tosfos said, I borrow a Kli from a Jew who bought it from a guy, I need to do tefillah. Hagos HaShri says, I borrow a kli from a Jew who bought it from a guy but didn't buy it for suda, bought it for other purposes. To cut klavim, I don't need tefillas kelim. Says the Beis Yosef, what if the person, the original Jew that bought it from a guy, didn't buy it to cut klavim, he bought it for schora. It's a business thing. A Jewish-owned store on Central Avenue buys kelim from a non-Jewish company and sells them to me. Or maybe lends them to me, a gemach, let's say. So they buy kelim from a guy, and they lend them to me, or they rent them to me, a party store. That's the best example, probably. let's say a Jewish-owned party supply store that rents out kelim that you can use, you know, sternos and whatever, and all these big kelim that serving dishes and all these things that you would use for a party. So does it require tvila? So says the Beis Yosef, think about it. The original Jew who bought it from a guy, what did he buy it for? For clay suda? No, he bought it for clay schora. He just wants to do business with it. Since all he wants to do is do business, right? So that's clay schora. He didn't need tvila. If I then go and I borrow from him, well, he didn't need tvila, so I don't need to do tvila either, because I only borrowed it. He says, now forget about if I borrow it from him. Even if I buy it from him, I don't need tefillah. Because who did I buy it from? A Jew. The first Jew goes and buys it from a guy. But he buys it for clay schara. So the store in Central Avenue buys it from a guy to sell. It's clay schara. They don't have to do tefillah because it's clay schara. I go and I buy it from them. I don't have to do tefillah either, because I bought it from a Jew. Shailoyam omed el schora. V'dami lahada goes hashri. He says, just like that goes hashri. But then the Beis Yosef says, I'm not really being totally honest here. It's not really just like that goes hashri, because that goes hashri did not speak about a case where I buy it from a Jew who bought it for schora from a guy. He spoke about a case where I borrow from a Jew who bought it for schora from a guy. He says, it could be that there's a difference between buying and borrowing. In the case of the party store, let's say, that has all these kelim that they bought l'schora, and I just borrow it from them for my party, so then maybe an echinami does not require tevila based on that goes hashri. But in Stama store on Central Avenue that sells kelim that they themselves bought from a wholesaler who's a guy, and they're selling it retail to me, then it could be that it does require tevilas kelim. Now, he doesn't flesh out why that should be the case. Why should borrowing be different than buying? Either way, I'm only getting it from a Jew. So either way, it should not need tefillah, no? Why does the Beis Yosef say, no, if I borrow it from a Jew who himself bought it l'schora from a guy, then I don't need tefillah. But if I buy it from a Jew who bought it l'schora from a guy, then I do need tefillah. Why? What's the chilek? So probably what you need to say is something along the lines of the following. You probably need to say that when the first guy buys it, l'schora, does it automatically lose its shame as a kli akum? Does it lose its status as a kli akum? Or maybe no. It still retains its status of a kli akum, it just doesn't need tefillah because it's not kli se'uda. Meaning, you bring kli to the mikvah, now it loses its status of kli akum. Now it's a kli Yisrael. Right? You tire it, mekadish it, whatever you do to it. Now it's a kli Yisrael. When I buy it from an akum, letzorech chatichas klafim, or to sell, you know, do business with, or anything like that, is it not a kli akum anymore because I bought it and I'm the owner? Or is it that it's still a kli akum, it's just that it didn't need tevila? So if you hold it's not a kli akum anymore, it loses the status of kli akum, now it's a kli Yisrael. So then when I go and I sell it to somebody else, he doesn't need to do tefillah anymore because he bought it from Yisrael. It's a kli Yisrael. But if it retains its status of kli akum, so long as it hasn't been brought to a mikvah, it's just that when the first guy had it, it didn't require tefillah. Well, then when another Yisrael buys it to use for su'uda, it's going to require tefillah. Beis Yosef is nota lahachner in this. It is noted the second way, that if you buy, and this is what we assume, otherwise, you know, any Jewish-owned store on Central Avenue, you'd be allowed to buy all your kelim and never have to double them, right? But we assume that no, that since the Jew himself bought it for the purpose of schora from a guy, so that Jew, you're right, the store owner didn't have to double it because he's only using it for schora. But if you go and buy it from that Jew, you then need to do tevila. Because, right, you need to do tefillah, but if you borrow it from that Jew, you don't need to do tefillah. That's how the Beis Yosef says. Fine. You look la halacha, shulchan aruch, shoel osocher klima of the galulim, eno ton tefillah. If you borrow directly from a guy or rent directly from a guy, no tefillah necessary. If a Jew buys it from the guy and a Jew borrows it from that other Jew, he says it does need tefillah, because kvar neschayev biyad arishon. Because the first guy was already chayev. If the Jew who buys it from the guy didn't buy it l'tzorach su'uda, and then another Jew borrows it from a Jew, so then from that first Jew, then you don't need then you don't need tvila. Fine. And the Rama adds, but the first guy who bought it, not for tzaruch suda, can't use it at all with tzaruch suda. If I bought it to cut klapim, then you got to cut klapim with it. You're not supposed to use it for anything else. That is, Shulchan Aruch basically quotes the Hagos HaShri and follows through with what he says in Beis Yosef. Yeah. I'm sorry? Where are you? Oh, in the... Meaning other types of non-su'uda uses. Probably klei schara.
So he
would go with klei. He goes with that extension. Extending chatikas klafim to klei schara, that he sticks with. He doesn't see any chilek over there.
In terms of
the only chilek he sees, the part where he's not lahachmir, is in terms of does the second Jew borrow from the first Jew or buy from the first Jew. If he borrows from the first Jew, it does not need tefillah. If he buys from the first Jew, it does need tefillah. So why am I going through all this stuff? It sounds so not practical. This is extremely practical. Yeah?
I might be getting ahead of myself. Let's say decides to anyway.
Okay, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to it in a second. Okay, let's just finish up these makaros first, and then we'll have a clear picture. Says the Taz, look in source number 11, Sifkat and Yud. Says the Taz that he doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are just totally happy with this psak of the Agos HaShri and they just stick with it. He says it's machlokas rishonim. The Isser v'Heter disagrees. And he quotes, the Yisra v'Heta writes, Kivan shim hayu Yisrael ha'echad rotzal l'sham, meaning what was Agos HaShri's kula? That if a Jew buys a kli, and again, if a Jew goes ahead and buys a kli, but not for klei su'uda, and then you borrow it from him, it doesn't need tevila. He says, and what if the first Jew would have wanted to take a drink out of it? Or would have wanted to cut a steak with the knife or whatever? Then it would have required tevila. So says the Yisra v'Heter, since if the first Jew wanted to use it for klei su'uda, he would have had to do tevila. So when you're using it sort of on his behalf as the extension of him, as the borrower from him, and you're just using it for su'uda, so it should also require tevila skelim. He says, Kivan shim hayo Yisrael echad rotza l'sham shul su'uda, afilo aray, even if he just wanted to use it once for su'uda. He would still need to tovel it. Memela, he says, the lamdas as follows. Nischayev biyado mikri. It's called that it was chayev biyado. He wasn't actually using it lesuda, but he can't say that at the time that he owned it, that it wasn't a clay suuda. If at some point it's going to be used for suuda. Mali, if he uses it for suuda, or if you use it for suuda. Since it was purchased from the guy, it's only to be used for suuda. By him, by you, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, you borrow from a Jew who bought from a guy, litzorech, schora, or cutting klapim, or whatever, says Yisra v'Heter, yes, you need tevila. No, because the Jew owns it. The guy doesn't own it anymore.
If the Jew is owning it to not use it for klei su'uda, and he still needs to do tefillah.
But he is using it for klei su'uda by giving it to you and allowing you to use it for klei su'uda. So it is being used for klei su'uda. So the Isra v'Heter holds that this requires tefillah. So again, now let's go back. You go to a Jewish restaurant, and it's a Jewish-owned restaurant or a Jewish-owned hotel, and they have kelim that probably have not been toveled. Can you drink from those kelim? You borrow from a Jew who bought from a guy litzorech schora. So can you not, do you not need tevila? Shulchan Aruch says, no problem, you don't need tevila, l'chora. And the Isra v'Heter says, absolutely you do need tevila. Says the Taz, I like the Isra v'Heter. Yesh l'tov lo, but below bracha. Now, he says, and therefore, if you borrow kelim from a Yisrael chenveni to use for a su'uda, from a storekeeper, a Jewish storekeeper to use for a su'uda, you should tovel it without a bracha. But he says, if that storekeeper ever sells off his stuff, he should make sure to tell the person he's selling it to, this has been toveled already without a bracha, so that the person he sells it to doesn't go ahead and tovel it with a bracha. Right? So you've got to be careful about that. Yeah.
One of the earlier shares, we discussed something similar machlokas with the shechting knife? And didn't we say, and then it was a noah says you can use the shechting knife for like some other purposes, and then I forgot who says like, says you can't judge it based on, you can make up a million possibilities that someone could possibly have, but don't we look at like what the guy's actually using it for? I don't remember who said it.
Right, okay, so it could be a similar type of discussion over here, right? Alpi Rov, is it determined by what this guy... But over here it's different, because what the guy's actually using it for is not so pashut that it's not Klei Suda, just because he personally isn't using it for Klei Suda. So it's not just as far that he can use it for Klei Suda. It's that as soon as he gives it to somebody else, lends it to somebody else, that somebody else is using it for Klei Suda. So... It's Kiluam, meaning what difference does it make if I'm using it for Klei Suda or he's using it for Klei Suda? When I bought it into Rishus Yisrael, and was it all made to be used for Suda? Apparently, because when I lent it out to the guy, he started using it for Suda. So it's not cool that it wasn't Chayiv B'yad HaRishon. That's how the Isser V'Hetta wants to say. Now, the Pischei Tshuva says, look, end of the day, the Ramah doesn't quote the Isser V'Hetta. The Pri Chadash Chalik on the Isser V'Hetta. So he says, if there's a major Tzorech, then you could be Mekel. There's a major tzarech, you have a lot of guests, Suda Gadola, you're afraid you're going to break the kelim, it's going to be Hafsin Merubah. Major tzarech, you could be makel against the Isser V'Heter, like the Psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. And he says, Ve'efshar, it's possible also, the Gam Isser V'Heter, Lokos of Kenel B'Klei Matchos. Maybe the Isser V'Heter is only really Machmir and things that need Tevila Midaraisa. But things that only need Tevila Midarabanan, like Klei Zuchuchus, which only need Tevila Midarabanan, Maybe you don't have to, even this of a heter wouldn't be so machmir. Maybe even this of a heter would say you would not require tefillas kelim. So practically, what emerges from this, when a Jewish-owned store on Central Avenue that sells glass, drinking glasses and the like, cutlery, things like that, if you were to buy the kelim from that store, even the Shulchan Aruch would say, you need tevila. If you were to borrow the kelim from a store, it's a party store, or rent the kelim from the store, like a party store, something like that, then you are getting involved in the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Isser V'Heter. Shulchan Aruch would say that in that situation you don't need tevila. The Isser V'Heter would say you do need tevila in that situation, right? What about a restaurant? What about a restaurant? I go to a Jewish-owned restaurant and they didn't do tefillas kelim, or a hotel. There are Jews that own lots of hotels. But they don't make sure that whatever their hotels buy, that they do tefillas kelim in the hotel bar or whatever. So do I or do I not? Am I not allowed to drink and eat from those kelim in a restaurant? Very nogel ma'isa for kashrus agencies, obviously. Do they require their restaurants to do tefillas kelim? So what are you tying? The restaurant owner, when he buys it, what's his kavanah, what's his purpose? What? So there are those poskim that suggest that's called klei schora. He's not opening the restaurant because he wants to eat. He's opening the restaurant because he wants to make money. And therefore it's called klei schora. Rav Shachtel thought that was absurd. He was very upset by that psak. He says, you know, you have three poskim in the history of humankind that say that way. It was a Rebbe, a Talmud, and the Talmud's brother-in-law. So it was like, you know, they were all influenced. I don't know who he's referring to. I mean, I know who says it. I don't know who's related to who or whatever. But he says that that's not called klei schora. If I buy it so people could eat from it, while in my house, while in my restaurant, they're going to eat from it, that's not called klei schora. That ain't klei suda gadol mizeh. But just because I personally am not going to eat from it, usually, or even ever, let's say I own restaurants that are on the West Coast, and maybe I'll visit once in a while, but I'm not going to eat there. So that's not, he didn't think that that's called klei schora. But there are poskim that say it is called klei schora. One of the handouts that we gave out, the Darkei Tshuva, in Sifkat and Ayin, you look where the arrow is. It was a fascinating Darkei Tshuva for two reasons. One is because of this major psak. He says, right where the arrow is, V'dashin espashid aminug b'kala olam. Someone should reprint the Darkei Tshuva, by the way. V'dashin espashid, soon there aren't going to be any Jews left who know how to read Rashi printed. They're going to have to reprint it. V'dashin espashid aminug b'kala olam. That you should know that the minug has spread out throughout the entire world. Kishanosin b'mesilas habarzel shoshosin b'chatzah mesilas sheikha rumayim b'tzantzenes shalbala mezak. Basically, people would stop at rest stops and they'd order a drink. And they would get the drink in a glass or in a metal kli, and they would drink it without a problem. Ve'ein makbidim, who you sold them love, and they didn't interview the owner of the rest stop of the store. Are you a Jew or are you not a Jew? They didn't care. If he's a Jew, it's fine. The lecharim who you sold, yesh lom lishlos because the lechar, if he was a Jew, you shouldn't drink from his kelim. Kivan sherubam kikulam emrekim v'kalei adas. Because most of these Jews are rekim v'kalei adas, meaning not religious, and therefore they're people who are definitely not being tovel lekelim. Gamim kev tzrichim tvila bevade lo tovel akelim v'atam pashut l'fiyani azdaiti l'fiyanal. And he says, I think the reason is as follows: kivan shakli who rak b'she'ele etzel ashosa. Since the guy drinking from it is only borrowing it, ukanal beprat beklizachuches. Especially by Kli Zechuchus, where it's only Drabban, Kama Shaksapti, Mizeh, Gamla Alon Sham, Uprat, Lufia Niestaiti, Borur, Kiembala, Mezag, Ein Sarach, Lati, Al Kalim Klal, Kivan Shehem, Etzlo, Rak, Etzorach, Schora. That the guy who owns the restaurant doesn't eat Tvila, because by him it's only Etzorach, Schora. He's just trying to sell you food. The guy who's drinking the drink or eating the food, it's she'ela. He's only borrowing it. And therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he's not going to require tefillas kelim. So he says, that happens to be the kula that we rely on. That's what the Darkei Tshuva writes. What I found also fascinating about this, just like a good believe it or not, issue discussed by early poskim, he discusses mineral water that people would bottle and sell. I thought this was like started in like 1986 or something. Like I didn't realize that this is something that goes back, that people actually paid for mineral water, for Poland Spring water. But anyway, so he says that the minhag was always that they would bottle the water in glass bottles. You would get the bottle and then return it. You drink the water, return the bottle. It wasn't like packaging. They would need the bottles back, right? So he says, what's the heter? Heter is the guy who's bottling the water, it's klei schora for him. For you, you're only borrowing the bottle, and therefore it's okay. So this is a major kula if you would rely on it for restaurants. There are kashrus organizations that rely on this Darkei Tshuva. I'm not sure which. Rav Schechter said that there are major kashrus organizations that rely on this Darkei Tshuva. The OU is not one of them. They don't rely on this Darkei Tshuva. So if you hold, like Rav Schechter, that this Darkei Tshuva is incorrect, so then you're going to have a major problem. You go to a restaurant that's under some other kashrus organization, they weren't tovel the kalim based on this psak that for the original Jew it's klei schora, but you hold no, it's not klei schora for him, it's klei suda, it's there for you to eat from. He's not selling it to you. He's not selling you the kli at all. He's selling you the food on the kli, and you're using the kli to eat the food. It's clearly klei suda. So then l'chora you wouldn't be allowed to eat from the kalim in such a restaurant. Right, so it's a major issue. I would think that kashrus organizations would try to be more on the outside of Yosef Tov to try to be machmir for something like this. Good, but okay, now that we know all that, let's go back to Onatz. Again, don't mean to pick on them. Anybody, any candy store that sells candy that's prepackaged in a glass or metal kli. So the first date everyone thought of, right, when we raised the shaila is, let the store do the tefillah. Now we learned, not so pashut at all. In fact, it's pretty pashut that the store cannot do the tefillah. Why can't the store do the tefillah? For them, it's klei schara. They're not buying those kelim just so you can eat from those kelim, right? Where it would be klei suda, or to eat from themselves, where it would definitely be klei suda. They're buying those kelim to sell those kelim with candy in it, and the candy itself costs whatever, $8, and the kli that the candy comes in costs $20, and they'll sell it to you for $80, whatever. Somehow it adds up, right? So the they're selling it to you for what the for they're selling the kli. It's klei schora for them. If they were to do tefillah, it's not even chayiv in tefillah. The tefillah doesn't work, according to many poskim, because it's not chayiv in tefillah biadam. So they can't do the tefillah yet. Now you go and you buy it from them, and now you want to use it as klei suda. You want to eat from it. It's not a disposable kli, like the Snapple bottle where we thought of some heterim, the aluminum pan or whatever where we thought of some heterim. It's not disposable. It's something that you're going to keep on using to serve candy in over and over again. Again, not assuming plastic or the wicker ones you probably throw out normally also. Right? Assuming it's glass. It's really, or metal. So you would use it again, and you will use it again. So it's not disposable, it's not chad pa'ami, right? It's not packaging, because they're charging you good money for the kli itself. If you were to go into the same candy store and say, give me the candy without the kli, it would cost a lot less. It's not like the Snapple where you say, okay, without the glass, I brought my own flask, where they're going to charge you the same amount of money. All that didn't fall away. Right? I think now we've seen enough that we could appreciate that that's, yeah. Then you get into a very complicated, I thought of this, you get into an issue of Breira. Probably for glass he can, for metal he can. Because the issue then becomes, when's he going to act as your shliach? When's the candy store going to act as your shliach? Before you've ever set foot into that store? He doesn't even know, you don't know, and he doesn't know, nobody knows that you're going to end up buying the kelim. So Elamai, what are you going to say? You're going to buy the kelim, and then it will be Hurvar Adavar L'mafreya, that you were the guy that he was doing the tefillah on behalf of. So that's Breira. So do we rely on Breira for something like that? So that generally the halach is with Breira. For Daraisa, we don't rely on Breira. For Darabanan, we do rely on Breira. So tefillah of glass, maybe, there's what to say, maybe, that you can rely on Breira. If it's tefillah of metal kelim, then there would be no hatzer to rely on that. But it doesn't sound exactly right in terms of Breira. It sounds even worse because it's beyond that, you know. It's like Breira might be like there are X number of people, you know, these 10 people I could identify are going to come into the store. I just don't know which item I'm going to sell to which one. Like, let's say we had the shaila with shalach manos, the women who pack shalach manos for the shul shalach manos, right? So they know exactly who's on the list to get shalach manos. So the question is, could they be the shluchim for those people to do the tevila before they pack it with the candy? So I told them yes. Because that, I thought, they know exactly who the people are, and they're the exact amount of shalach manos. It's just a question of who's going to get which. So I don't know exactly which person I'm a shliach for. So I thought, for that, you could rely on Breira. But over here, like, I don't even know if any particular person is ever going to walk into this store. So maybe it's a little more difficult. Yeah. Kleotzer? I don't think so. You bring it to the table and you eat from it. A candy dish.
But there's an obvious like difference between that and like a plate where you like, you know.
It's a serving plate.
I don't know.
I don't see the difference. Now, we might have a kula to be able to eat from it if you're at someone's table where they have that. We'll see in a second. But certainly, if you're the person who is either buying the gift or owns the house, you should be cognizant of this. Someone's going to be doing something wrong. It could be that if you're at the table, you're allowed to eat from it. We'll see in a second. But it's certainly something is being done wrong along the way.
Would it make a difference if they just have the regular platter and you put the candy in and you make it for the candy? Or is that instead of being prepackaged and wrapped or anything?
Why would that make a difference?
Because, like, he might have just bought it and the only actual time where it's, I don't know.
And then you hive into it right away.
He might have been touching on this, but if we don't hold like the Darche Moshe and
Darche Tshuva,
and it's actually a clay seuda in a restaurant, so why shouldn't that also apply in Onatz?
Okay, here's why it doesn't apply in Onatz, because in Onatz they never plan on using it. They plan on using those kelim to sell the kelim. That's the definition of klei schara. Meaning in the restaurant, they don't want to ever sell those kelim. They want those kelim to be used for people to eat food from them in the restaurant over and over again. That's klei suda. So obviously, klei schara, I know that when I sell it, people are going to eat from it, but it's still called klei schara, right? Because my purpose is in selling it. That's klei schara. Now, what I thought, the only hetzer I could think of would be to have the candy store tovel it, and then have like a party with the employees of the store where they actually have like a little candy party eating from the kelim where they use it once. Let them use it as klei suda once. So as long as they use it as klei suda once, but then they're going to have to advertise all the kelim are used and no one's going to buy it. But if they use it once, then it could be klei suda for them. Then they have the right to be tovel it, and then they could sell it to you. So that was the only thing I could possibly think of that would work. I don't know of any other. And we said also hefsek mappa doesn't work. To put a napkin down or something like that, and it doesn't work. Yeah.
Didn't even that one you're going to get exactly from one of that type to show that this type that they would use to eat them for themselves. Meaning, do they need to eat out of every single glass dish they have in the store?
Yeah.
The fact that they, they paint it a lot, is that's not a hashtag either? After they paint it?
What do you mean? What
like
should that accomplish?
They paint, it's like a clay dish. They paint it.
Again, if it's clay, it's no problem. If it's glass, then it's paint. Because
right.
Clay won't need tefillah anyway. But I don't understand what the
I'm saying in terms of the hefzik.
In terms of chatzitza?
Aluminum foil. Yeah. Like, I'm saying, why if aluminum foil, the point of aluminum foil is that so if the tan doesn't go through on, like a napkin, then paint and something works the same way as aluminum foil, then...
No, it becomes part of the kli. It becomes batel to the kli. It becomes part of the kli. Okay, so that's the onat chumra. I haven't thought of any kulas. So if someone thinks of a kula, you could go ahead and let me know. This psak of the Darkei Tshuva is often quoted as the psak of the Shevet Sofer, the sheet of the Shevet Sofer. I read through this tshuva, the Shevet Sofer, which is in source number 13. I didn't see where he really says it exactly. In the paragraph beginning with the words Veshuv Matsasi, is the closest he comes, but he doesn't really seem to be breaking much new ground in that paragraph. He seems to be saying a lot less than the Darkei Tshuva. He writes as follows: "V'shuv matzasi v'ra'isi bebinas adam simin samechei diyav taimala minuk shasholim besudos gedolos klecheres mitzupin klezuchuches mechen v'ni Yisrael." He says he gives a reason why people had the minuk that they would borrow for big su'udos klecheres glazed or whatever, or klei zechuches, glass kelim from Echen v'nei Yisrael. V'kas of kibin dar amal lo hevi klal das esheis v'heter, since the Rama doesn't quote this v'heter, and the Prichadish is cholik on this v'heter. So even though the Taz thinks that we have to be choshish for the yisr v'heter, in a major tzorech, he could be mekel, right? That's what the Pesach Tshuva quoted from him as well. V'im kein, and therefore, he says in the types of kelim that we're talking about, since there's a chashash that if you tovel them, they're going to break, and you're only borrowing them. Again, he doesn't directly talk about a case of a restaurant. Then he spends one paragraph talking about whether the Shav Yaakov's chiddush of comparing Hilchus Tumen Tara to Hilchus Tevilas Kelim is correct. He happens to think it's not correct. He has several rayas that it's not correct. Fine, but the I don't know why everyone quotes this as the sheet of the Shevet Sofer. It's the sheet of the Darkei Tshuva. The chiddush is it's there. It's in print. It's the Darkei Tshuva, though. It's not the Shevet Sofer. Now, what if you're in such a restaurant, or you're in such a place, you're in a place where a restaurant, let's say, that bought kelim, and you find out that that Ashkacha agency, although they're very reliable in terms of kashrus, they hold like this Darkei Tshuva, and you think, like Rav Shechter, you think the Darkei Tshuva's shita on this is absurd, and you would never rely on that Darkei Tshuva. So is there any such heter? Is there any heter of what to do? So first, on a very general level, Rav Moshe has a very famous heter. Rav Moshe writes in source number 15, Igrus Moshe Yerdeich El Gimel Simul Chav Beis, Va'ochel b'malon, someone who eats, and in case you don't know what the word malon means, he puts in parentheses, hotel. And again, spelled correctly, or in a restaurant, she'ein tovlin kleya. Rav Moshe clearly assumed a restaurant does need to tovel their kelim against the Darkei Tshuva. Right? And he says, and therefore, if you find yourself in a restaurant that didn't tovel their kelim, v'nasun l'fan of chatichos basur chadome, munachos agabe kli matchos o zuchuchis, if they give you pieces of meat on metal kelim or on glass kelim, v'einon tzrichos le'etzem akli, and you don't really need the kli, though. V'einon mishtamshim balutzorach achila, the kli doesn't really help you in your eating. Afshe gam kli shem mishtamshim baludvarim yiveshim em gamke nechshavim klei sudo tzrichin tevila. Even though a plate is definitely, even a plate that you only eat dry chicken on or dry potatoes or something, it's definitely called klei su'uda. You definitely need to do tevila on such a plate. Aval kivan she'ena machal nesar, but since, Rav Moshe says, at the end of the day, food that's in a kli that requires tevila doesn't become usur just because it's in such a kli. Yesh lahatir b'shasadchak litol misham b'yadayim o b'dover she'en tzorach tevila v'lechol. He says you could pick it up off the plate and eat it, because you're not really using the plate. It's a very difficult chiluk that he's making. No, he's saying, is it a klei suda? Yes, of course, you need to do tefillah on it. But if tefillah wasn't done on it, are you really using it? You're not really using it because you don't really need the plate there. You're eating dry food that you could pick up off the table also. You don't really, the plate's not aiding in the eating. Now, I'm not sure if that's true. Is that always true that even with dry food, if you were to try to cut something directly on the tablecloth, right? So aside from the fact that it's rude or whatever, it would move around a lot more. It may be more difficult to cut. You'll end up cutting through the tablecloth. You're not going to be sure when to stop. You'll be more tentative. Like, kalim are made to have food type things, you know, dishes, flatware, you know, on them and used on them. I'm not 100% certain that. But anyway, but that's sort of Moshe's major kula. Now again, it doesn't work. He writes for a spoon, a bowl, something like that. Obviously, you can't eat a liquid that's in a bowl if the bowl weren't there. If the bowl weren't there, it would be all over the place, right? It would only apply for dry foods. But this is the famous tshuva of Moshe, that if you're in a situation where people didn't do tefillas kelim, you could at least eat the dry food. So that's the classic example. You're in somebody's house, and they say, we don't believe in this chumrah of the day of tefillas kelim, so you can eat the, well, if they're serving you in China, it's no problem anyway. But even if they're serving you on glass or whatever, you can eat dry foods from those plates. Yeah.
Yeah, if you have like a bowl, you're not really using the bowl or plate. The plate is there, or the bowl is there. You're holding the contents of it.
That's called using it
by
for
a bowl,
food.
But yeah, using it though, it's there anyways. Whether you're eating it or not, it's still there, holding everything it's holding. Whether you choose to eat it or not, it's still
not whether you choose to eat it or not. Don't look at it that way. Look at it as you want to eat it. If the bowl weren't there, would you be able to?
Yeah, but you didn't put it in the bowl.
Of course not. But would you be able to eat it if it weren't in a bowl? The answer is
no.
If it weren't on a plate, would you be able to eat a dry piece of chicken? The answer is yes. That's what Moshe is.
Are you chayav to ask the restaurant if they totaled their dishes?
I don't think so. I think I would imagine most kosher organizations, unless you know, I mean, I'll try to look into it, try to find out who exactly realized.
I mean, like going on with it, would it be better not to ask? So, suffic?
Create a suffic. Well, again, is closing your eyes a suffic?
It's not.
I'm not sure. I'll call Rabbi Eisen and ask him. I'm curious.
Nowadays, most dishes are China or not necessarily.
Yeah.
Most of the time,
like in Sushi Mitsuyan, they'll give you like the metal bowl thing, you know, once in a while if you order.
Usually, the plates are mostly.
Right. Most of the plates are
have
been China.
Really mean to be dry. It could be anything.
I mean, the bigger problem is going to be your drinking glasses.
Right.
And that you don't have a Moshe for either. That you have a real problem.
It's
like Drabana, maybe it's something with Darki Chuva, it's Drabana, plus it's Suffolk, maybe.
If they give you
the
donuts thing?
What?
If they give it to you, it's like, it's not that you're using it from someone else, it's yours, you know, it wasn't told well. Like, they just gave it to you and they're there. Then you can use the same thing? Like, oh, it's. No, so you can't use it at all?
I don't think that's not the same Hetzer at all. No, because it was. No, I don't think so. It's yours. Mamshchayev and Tvila. By the restaurant, you're borrowing it. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that a different heter. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's only nisid rabbanon to use, even if the chiv tefillah is a chiv darai. So we've discussed many times that it may only be nisid rabbanon to use a kli that wasn't toveled. So since it's only nisid rabbanon and you have no ability to tovel the kli, you have no potential to tovel the kli, so maybe b'chiyah gavna lo tiknu. Maybe in that situation where you can't possibly be tovel the kli. And the issue to use it is only the Rabbanon, so maybe the Rabbanon weren't gozer in that kind of situation where maybe the Rabbanon weren't gozer that you need to tovel it before using it if you have the ability to tovel it. But if you don't have the ability to tovel it, a little bit similar to Rav Schachter's electric kalim hatter, right? Except this is a little stronger. Because Rav Schachter's hatter, I don't understand because we're dealing with the Daraisa. Right, the din daraisa of tevilas kelim, and he's saying, that din doesn't apply. But over here, Rosh Hashanah, a little more palatable because he's saying we're dealing with din drabanan. That so the rabbanan, it's not mistavre that the rabbanan would be misakin that you need to do tevila in a case where you can't do tevila, or that you can't eat from a kli that didn't have tevila if you have no ability to do tevila. I mean, the rabbanan would say, why did the rabbanan make this din not to eat from a kli before you did tevila, hoping to encourage you to do tevila? Well, if all the encouragement in the world is not going to help because it's not yours, you're eating in a restaurant. You can't just take the kelim out of the restaurant, say, I'll see you soon, I'll be back soon. You can't do that. Or at someone else's house, so then it's not going to, maybe the rabbanon weren't misakin that in such a case. That's the second possible hetter. Right.
I thought you said on Thursday
that
Rosh Hashanah was talking about the Isser Shtamshus.
The Isser Shtamshus, which is right. That the Isser Shtamshus, yeah, but the problem is, it's nice to say that he's only talking about the Isser Shtamshus, but at the end of the day, what about the Chiv Darais of Tevila?
That gets into like being about
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't fully grasp that. I mean, I think we may have a svara as we go forward over here in terms of, you know, in terms of that, but not yet. I don't fully grasp it at this point. Yeah.
How unable do you have to be? Like, for example, if there's you're in Russia and they didn't sneak a mikveh in your town, and you're not able to, can you buy a kli from a non-Jewish person and not have to tovel it because you have no ability, you have no potential?
Are you saying this tshuva, this Chiddush of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if you take it, so I don't think so, because that's discussed explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, right? The Rambam says if there's no, then you have to sell it to a guy and borrow it from the guy. So that case, I don't think he'd be willing to say. I think what he would say is that if you're in a situation where your kinyan on it is a type of kinyan where you're unable to tovel it, meaning that's the nature of your usage of it. You're using it in somebody else's house, in somebody else's property, something like that. But if you're going to bring it home and that's, you know, the way you were koneh it, so then even Rosh Hashanah would be mode that it does require tefillah. The tefillah, Sefer Tefillah's Kelim on page Pevav, Ha'arachav, quotes another possible kula in the name of the Tshuva's Beis Avi. Not sure that I understand it, but we'll mention it because we're looking to mention all the kulas. So he writes that the hekel misareach etzel acher lechol bekelim shelo hutbelu. If you're a guest at somebody else's house, he's mekel to eat in kelim that weren't toveled. Kivan de einze lo she'ela velo schirus. He says you're not borrowing those kelim, nor are you renting them. Why? How do I know you're not borrowing or renting them? When I borrow something from somebody and then I break it, do I have to pay for it? Yes, right. So she'ela mischayv b'achrayis hakli yimishaver. If I break a kli at somebody else's house, I don't have to pay for it. If I knock my glass over at somebody else's house and it breaks, the guy was never going to ask me for money for that. So I don't have to pay for it. V'gam harei ha'oreach eino mishtamish b'kli. And the oreach isn't really using the kli. Ki eino nafkamino lechol dafka b'kli zeh. Because he doesn't care that it be this kli or any other kli. He doesn't mind. You could serve him plastic too. That would be fine. So since he doesn't care what kind of kli it is, he's not using the kli. I don't really see that. I don't really understand where he's coming from. First of all, you're not using the kli just because you wouldn't mind eating on paper. And who says I wouldn't mind eating on paper? I go to someone's house, I want to be served like a mensch, no? I don't know. I mean, is that so pashut? You go to someone's house for a shot. I mean, obviously, of course, you don't mind eating on paper. I'm saying, like, it's more dignified to not eat on paper. So you can call that, and who cares what I mind? I'm using it for clay suda. I don't understand.
And someone started with their restaurants that if you break a clay, they're not going to make you pay for it.
Right.
So it seems like it's more like a matanah manasahasa when you go to a restaurant, that like they're giving to the time.
But l'gabi tefillas kelim, that's called she'ela. You're borrowing it. You're using this kli as kli suda.
Say that she'ela by Tzvi's game is not the same she'ela that we have by
Kli. Right, yeah. You're right. By she'ela in terms of chiyuv to pay for it or whatever, you're right. So you're not technically a she'ela. But to say, meaning, you have to, by Tzvi's kelim, you have to look at, so what is your relationship to it? Meaning, it's not that there's such a din of she'ela by Tzvi's kelim. There's a din of bailim and not being the bailim. Right, and using it without being the bailim. She'ela and schir is just a hechitimtz of using it without being the bailim. And the point is, so it should be adrab, it should be kavachomer, right? So if you're not a shovel, so what are you? You're using it, using clay suda without being the bailim. It doesn't make a difference. You're not the bailim. So I don't know, that didn't sit well with me. I think somewhere else in the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, he quotes that same idea and he himself rejects it. He says that he doesn't like it. I think it's somewhere else in the Marmakomos, I think even. I'm not sure. I think I saw that somewhere else in the Tevilas Kelim, that he doesn't like that. But again, those are the Stadim Lahakel. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we will finish up the other Kenyan issues. Mashkon, if it's Jewish-owned factory, you buy something on credit. And the most Nogel Maisa issue, partnerships between Jews and non-Jews, and everything that comes out of that discussion.